Well, a God morning to you, and welcome back to the God School. I'm pretty excited about the message out of God's Word today. And my prayer is that not only am I able to communicate effectively this message, but that those who hear might have ears from God to hear today's message. The other night, I was watching that movie that was done a few years ago called Slumdog Millionaire. And I was watching, this movie takes place, if you haven't seen it, you ought to see it. But it takes place in the slums of India. And the abject poverty and violence and what seems to the human eye to be without hope, and I was moved by that statement of Jesus, wherein he said that this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world. And immediately I moved to think about the gospel. And how often it has been perverted because it can't reach every nation, every kindred, every tongue. And if it can't, it's not the gospel. Paul says in Romans 1, 16 and 17, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." To everyone that, the better word is, faiths, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is a righteousness from God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just by faith shall live. And this word of God tells us that a measure of faith is given to every man. And that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I have every confidence that this message today can be preached in the richest suburbs of the richest country in the world and to the deepest and most desperate slums that the world has produced. Now, as we have taught often about this, which we call the Bible, wherein we say that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and that the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. That's the context for the message today. I want to bring the text, look into the text, and in the eyes of the New Testament, reveal the message. Open your Bibles to Psalm 91. And it says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, a little context for this message, as I have been taught by Dr. Gene Scott, that this psalm is kind of a play, if you will, set before us, wherein there are three different voices. The first voice, Dr. Scott and me would have you understand that this very well may be a choir of angels, those who are always in the presence of God, and the word angel means messenger. They're messengers of God. There's a second player in this psalm, and that is you and I, respondents to the voice of the messengers of God. And it culminates in the 14th through the 16th verse in God Himself speaking to us. So verse 1 is this company or choir of angels delivering a message, and it says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And verse 2 is you and I. We're responding to that which was just declared. And it says, I will say of the Lord, it's actually to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. And I'm going to go quickly through these next verses, having heard the words delivered by you and I, the angels, whip out a multitude of promises. I think that each and every one of us can identify as a need in our life, if not today, sometime in the past, if not sometime in the past, sometime in the future. And they say, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Boy, am I looking forward to that day. Now, the King James, times, needs to be corrected. The Hebrew of the 9th verse, best translated, is another response from us, wherein it says, surely thou, O Lord, are my refuge. It's a place I want to be, to keep me from all this evil that was promised us in verses 3-8. And the angel, the choir, comes in again, and it says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his messengers charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread on the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Man, oh man, stay with me, folks. You know, there be multitudes of gatherings of people supposedly under the name of Christ, wherein they misuse the scriptures. You know, Satan himself tried to misuse the scriptures when he tempted Jesus that he might leap from the top of the Temple Mount, wherein he said, go ahead, jump off. God promised that the angels shall bear thee up in thine hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said, his response to that was, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thirteenth verse again, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under thy feet. And now comes the voice of God, the voice of our Father, direct to us. wherein he says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. There's wonderful promises contained in this psalm, in great poetry, but I want to take a deeper look this morning. Some of the words in this song. It says, he that dwelleth. In the Hebrew, it's a participial word, and it's better translated, he that is dwelling. In the secret place, oh, how many so-called evangelists run around telling people about how to get to know the secrets of the Lord and become healthy, wealthy, and wise. I've got a secret for you. This is of the Lord. I want to tell you about the secret place that's going to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. This word dwelling in the Hebrew is sitar, sitar. And as we've often taught, the Hebrew is somewhat of a ambiguous language in that the words have a multitude of meanings. And if we went into multiplied translations in English of this first verse, we could say, he that is seated, he that is under the protection, he that is covered, he that is hidden. The word also means hide. We have that expression in the English, to skin your hide. It is a word that could be used also for skin, and boy, does our skin hide things. Oh, thank God. Could you imagine walking around looking at our insides? It means, this word also contains the understanding of movement to a different place. He. That is seated in the secret place. The hidden place. This psalm is speaking to God's people. And we need to understand that God preserved not his wonderful revelation for the world, but to those that he has chosen for himself out of the world. Now, some of you have this newest Bible that the Bible Museum has produced, that first edition of without question, the most rare of all English Bibles ever printed, that which was done by a man who headed the committee. His name is Benjamin Blaney. It is an edition that was originally printed in 1769, and you say, well, Don, how in 1769, how could that be the rarest? Well, after it was done, or as it was being done, a fire broke out in the place of the work, and all the books and the typeset was burned to ashes. And there are only 5 known copies of this particular edition that are known to exist in the world. We thought it so special that after 30 years, never having seen one, once we got our hands on it, we decided to reproduce it and make it available again. It is an astounding work. It helped me in this study today through its multiplied marginal references. I say multiplied more than the King James Bible that I teach from and read from every day. References to this first verse, that mine has no references at all to this first verse of Psalm 91. It would take us to the 27th Psalm, the 5th verse. It says, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." It would also take us to the 31st Psalm, the 20th verse, which says, "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Psalm 32:7 says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Selah, that means think about that. There's another place, folks. And if understanding can be brought about to me and to you of what God is saying, then because we understand, it can never be taken away. And through understanding and through the help of God's Holy Spirit, we can draw back to His words in times of trouble, in times of the snare of the fowler, that is, the tricks of the devil, in spite of noisome pestilence, that is, disease or destruction, we can draw back and be reminded of what God has done and is doing and will do for His people. It says, "He that is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, Elyon, is the word being translated here. It means the highest. In that which we call the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Thine is the kingdom and the power." God, who spoke these worlds into existence and maintains, or better put, upholds these worlds by the word of His power. He's the Most High. He's the highest. There's none above. And it goes on to say, shall abide. King James here offers an alternative. Shall lodge. Now, that could be an overnight stay or an eternal stay. I want you to understand. God speaks of things eternal. Shall abide, shall lodge under the shadow of the Almighty. You know how close proximity you have to be to come under the shadow of another person? And this is going to blow a lot of theological doctrines, but it says, shall abide under the shadow of Shaddai. Translated in Genesis 17:1, God Almighty. This Shaddai word in the Hebrew speaks of the breast. And it speaks to the feminine side of God. And that wonderful name of God we have here, El Shaddai, the breasted one. One translated it the enough God. And in that relationship wherein we might have some understanding, the mother's breast is sufficient for all the needs of the child, for therein is nourishment found, is comfort found, is protection found, is hiding found. Is all that we children need. It's a, use a play on words, it's a pregnant verse, this verse 1 of Psalm 91. Verse 2 says, I will say to the Lord. Romans 10 says, with the heart man fades, and with the mouth proclamation is made. There is power in the tongue. It is a dialogue between you and God, the other. And God likes to hear his words repeated. And we as humans will fight more vociferously for something that we have said rather than perhaps what we have thought. And we should constantly be talking to the highest, talking to our mother, talking to our Father, God. For there is none like unto him. It says, verse 2, I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in you. Make it personal. In you will I trust. Fourth verse says, he shall cover thee. A similar word to that word being translated secret place in verse 1. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. I want you to go back to verse 2 and underline the last word, trust. And write in your Bibles, the word is batach. It means to lean upon a staff with your whole weight, trusting that the staff is sufficient to hold thee up. I want you to go in verse 4, wherein it says, under his wings shalt thou trust. Underline that word trust there. It's a different word. The word is hasa, and it means to run to the shelter of a mother bird's wings, for therein is the expected protection necessary from whatever evil might come upon you. Hasa. These are two principal words of the Hebrew language, which when translated by those 3rd to 1st century B.C. Hebrew scholars from Hebrew to Greek, they use one word, and the word is pisteo, translated faith. It's a verb, folks. It involves leaning on, it involves running to, verbs. And I hope I never get tired of saying it. Faith is acting on the promises of God. There's a third word I want you to translate or to underline in that fourth verse, where it's translated his truth. The word in the Hebrew is emet. It's a derivative of the Hebrew word amin, or we might say amen. It's the word talks of, it's the third word in the Hebrew. There are others, but three principal words, batak, hasa, and amen. The word is a faith word. And what it's saying here is his, God's, faithfulness shall be your shield and buckler. Over and over again, this amen word is used in reference to God, and on occasion, it applies to men and women of God, It says in Hebrews, or excuse me, in Genesis 15, translated, speaking of Abraham, and he believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. The word is, it says he amened God. We, through that measure of faith that God has given to everyone, when we exercise or generate that faith, that no doubt state of mind, that no doubt in his faithfulness that he will do what he said he would do, that shall be our shield and buckler. Stay with me, folks. The context is long and deep, but I believe the message. Will be quick and effective. Let's jump to the words that God speaks in this play of Psalm 91. It says, because he has set his love upon me. That's here's a better picture, folks. One that we can do. Love is a tough one. But the root of the word being translated here, set his love upon me, the word has to do with clinging. And we have often said faith is grabbing hold of the promise of God. We cling. And we wait. That is, with the hope of expectancy. Because he clings to me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Oh man, that's, I gotta leave that here for the moment. That's a whole message upon itself, but we have two names here. Elyon in the first verse, the Most High, and Shaddai or El Shaddai, that wonderful mother picture of God. He shall call upon me. There we go again with the voice, folks, with the voice. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Well, wait a minute now. That secret that that evangelist told me about meant I wasn't going to have any more trouble. Well, listen to God's word and not that goddamn pervert preaching something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christianity does not prevent trouble from coming. In fact, in this world, folks, it's assured. If you will say of the Lord, if you will call upon him, you're going to have trouble. But God says, I will be with you in trouble and will deliver you and honor you. Make it personal, folks. And with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. The word in the Hebrew translated salvation is Yeshua. It's a name we find in the New Testament. It is Jesus. Now, here's the message. I would first take us to the third chapter of Colossians, wherein it says, speaking of what God is doing with and for us through Christ, Paul, who was personally taught by Jesus Christ for 3.5 years and is responsible for setting forth 2/3 of the New Testament, wherein we learn about this Christian life, not the religious life, but the Christian life. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. Back to that word. Dwelling. Sitteth. On the right hand of God. Set your affection, set your mind on things above and not on the things on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. He that dwelleth, that is covered, that is hidden. With Christ in God. In the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, it says, even we were dead in sins, has quickened, given life. Us has given life to us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You want to know where the secret place of the Most High is? It is in Christ Jesus. Now, Next week is, next weekend is Easter. And it is a celebration of the resurrection by God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. It is the foundation of our Christian faith. It is the ground of hope. By the promise of God that, just going back, to Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above. It is the hope, because God our Father raised Jesus from the dead, who gave his life that he might redeem us. I just want to go back. We referred earlier to that which is called the Lord's Prayer, and found in Matthew 6. But herein is the true Lord's Prayer, found in the 17th chapter of John. This great prayer that Jesus prayed shortly before giving his life on Calvary for us. Among other things, Jesus said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, that because he has known my name, God tells us in Psalm 91, Jesus says many other things in this 17th chapter of John, but he says, in the 15th verse, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. And evil is described so well in that 3rd to 8th verse of Psalm 91. And the 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th verse of Psalm 91. There's another place for the men and women of the family of God. Jesus goes on and he says in the 24th verse, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me, where I am. Like Paul, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. For a righteousness, for therein, in the gospel, is a righteousness from God, from faith to faith. Now this is the gospel because it can be and should be as the Lord commanded it be preached to every nation and people and tongue throughout the world. And regardless of life's circumstance, the people of God have a secret place, a hidden place, a place of covering, a place of protection wherein God has made us aware that we can dwell. And we shall live forevermore, hid with Christ in God. If you've heard this message, if God has given you ears to hear this message, I do want you to use that comment section of this website to respond to the teacher. And that's the God School for today.